This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'll keep my comments short, but yeah, I'm Chief Executive of RADAR, which is the Royal Association for Disability Rights. And I think we're living in some quite interesting times on disability at the moment. I don't know if anybody watched the Channel 4 programme last night, Cast-Offs, which is a kind of fake reality TV show with six disabled actors playing disabled characters. It's on again tonight. It's quite interesting. I think we seem to be getting past some of those old stereotypes of disabled people as always kind of, you know, heroically going up mountains or tragically suffering from their impairment or whatever. I recommend it if you've got spare time tonight. I wanted to echo something that Carol said early on, which was it's really important to celebrate successes and achievements and build on where we've got to, if this is about making equality work. We've just done a publication which is freely available called Lights, Camera, Action, which has got a lot of examples of how people have used what has been the disability equality duty, could equally well have been done under an equality duty, to achieve impact. And I don't think we had very many of those examples, just because the duty in disability at least was quite new. But it's things like you engage disabled people, you find out what the priorities are, and then you do something like improve hate crime reporting, set up hate crime reporting centres where people, you know, separate from the police, where people trust and it actually increases the level of reporting. Or you engage people with learning difficulties to let other people with learning difficulties know about cancer screening and you improve the uptake of cancer screening. And as several people have said, this actually improves your mainstream strategic impact. You know, we want more people to get cancer screening because we want to reduce premature mortality from cancer. It's absolutely about core business. It's not about this is something nice to do. I know I'm completely preaching to the converted here, really. It's probably an unnecessary point to make. But I just think that there's something about we've now got some of those examples and stories where we've moved beyond, as I think Alan was saying, the kind of the process and the schemes to actually how it makes a difference. And I think those are the stories we need to share. So if anyone wants to talk to me about that, please do. Just two other very quick points. We've got an award ceremony on Monday where we will be celebrating a lot of examples of good practice, including, for instance, organisations that support disabled people's career progression. We've talked a lot about disabled people being in the workplace, but actually we're very concerned to reduce the disability pay gap as well as the gender pay gap. And we've recently done research showing there are disabled people in very senior roles on our website, if you're interested. But there are still some real obstacles. And one of them is unnecessarily screening disabled people out of jobs. And we are hopeful, I think, Jonathan, that there might be something in the Equality Bill about removing unnecessary pre-employment health questionnaires, which we're very pleased that government has kind of responded positively on that. Finally, I think we need to think across the different equality strands, as several people have said. I would commend the EHRC's work on social care, which didn't do the standard thing you might do, say, what are older people's needs? What are disabled people's needs? What does it mean for women who might be carers at home? It actually looked across the piece, and it looked at human rights, it looked at gender, at age, at disability, at other equalities issues as well, and I think that's how we need to think. But we also sometimes need to get very specific. I mean, in my area of disability, you know, around half of disabled people of working age are working. However, if you break it down even just by impairment group, it's massively different. Only 20% of people with a long-term mental health condition are working. Whereas it's much higher, say, for people with a hearing impairment. We need to understand those differences, what the different barriers are. So it's at one level we need to think across the piece, but we also sometimes need to get really, really specific. Otherwise we'll sort of our approaches will be too general and they won't, an approach just on disability won't necessarily work. That's probably enough, I guess. I'll stop. Thank you.